Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Mitch Teich. We've heard a lot about the obesity epidemic in this country, that too many people, both young and old, weigh too much, and that it's having an impact on disease rates, from diabetes to heart disease to cancer. But a Milwaukee-based researcher says overweight people face another struggle, biases against them, even when they work to get in shape. Dr. Christy Greenleaf is an assistant professor in the Department of Kinesiology at UW-Milwaukee and an expert in so-called obesity bias. She joins us now to talk about its implications. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
What are we talking about when we use the term obesity bias?
Sure. So obesity bias refers to the negative perceptions people have when they look at others and they perceive them to be over some socially prescribed ideal body weight or shape.
Would you say, is this a modern invention? Is there more to it than simply the messages in mass media?
Sure. Well, there's definitely been a societal shift. So when you look back in history, having a larger body was actually perceived to be a sign of social status and stature because it meant you had a lot of resources and food availability and you weren't required to do manual labor. And we see just the opposite today in our current society, where having a lean body is associated with a lot of positive personal characteristics. People perceive lean individuals to be motivated and have willpower and all of these great characteristics. And when we look at individuals we think of as overweight or obese, the assumption is that somehow they're lacking those characteristics and that we attribute their physical size and stature to individual responsibility and personal attributes.
Well, and you work on the issue of obesity bias, especially in the physical education and the fitness world. How is the bias you study in those areas distinct from maybe the larger societal bias?
It's not all that different. So I think what we generally see when you look more in health and fitness environments is the emphasis on physical health. So the assumption is often that someone who's overweight or larger is simply unhealthy and that people that are thinner or leaner are healthy. And that's not, in fact, the case. There are many people who are larger that are metabolically healthy, and there are many people that are, you know, thinner or leaner that are metabolically unhealthy. So in physical education settings, one of the things we found in some of our research is that physical educators have pretty negative stereotypes or assumptions of overweight kids. They assume that they're going to be not only less physically skilled and capable and fit, but that they are lacking in social skills and in cognitive abilities.
Well, and historically, have physical educators been aware of the role they play beyond just the fitness world? It seems like this is wrapped up into things like psychology and, and certainly self-esteem issues. Has that been an underrepresented part of the physical education dynamic, if you will?
Yeah. There's been, I think, an emphasis on educating what they'll refer to as the whole child. So I think teachers are trained to at least be aware of some of those issues. And certainly previous research has indicated that kids experience a lot of teasing and bullying in physical education settings. It's not too hard to imagine how that might happen or occur. I don't think physical educators get a lot of training on how to deal with it. So I think they're aware of it. And some of our research has indicated they see that they have a role in helping kids feel comfortable and kids of all shapes and sizes learning to be physically active and enjoy movement. But I think they don't have a lot of practical skills or tools to use or intervene when they see, you know, weight bias or discrimination or teasing going on in their classrooms.
Well, and it's interesting because it seems counterintuitive in a way. You might think that of all the professions that might have an appreciation for the challenges in fitness, people in physical education and fitness careers might have a particular understanding.
Right. Yeah. So even some of the research looking at other health professionals, like those that specialize in treating obesity, find pretty pervasive bias and what they refer to as anti-fat attitudes. And one of the hypotheses is that there's so much education and training on individual behavior change and the focus is on personal responsibility, that we sometimes lose sight of the complexity of weight and weight management. And so individuals in health and fitness environments are very knowledgeable about what it takes for individuals to change their behavior or their weight status. And I think one of the challenges is recognizing the environmental and social and historical factors that contribute to obesity.
Is gender wrapped up in this as well?
Women and girls generally bear more of the brunt when it comes to experiences of weight bias and some of the negative repercussions. Not probably surprising to anyone in our culture, girls and women are generally held to a more strict kind of ideal expectation for appearance or for beauty or for physical size and shape. Men seem to, although they experience to some degree weight bias, it tends to happen at a higher weight than it does for women. And some of the negative repercussions aren't quite as severe.
It also – it's interesting because, I mean, it seems self-defeating, especially in the fitness profession. You would think that people in a profession like that would have the most to gain from taking an informed approach to obesity.
Sure. Well, and I think what you generally find is that a lot of individuals who are working in health and fitness environments, they really want to help people live healthier, happier lives. But again, I think the emphasis for so long has been on individual behavior change and, you know, simply promoting willpower and self-control. And again, the reality is our environment doesn't support healthy behaviors. It makes unhealthy behaviors or maybe less healthy behaviors the easy option. And so I think until there's a broader social and environmental shift that makes health the easiest option possible, it's going to be really challenging. But I think you're right. I think one area where we could have an impact is helping maybe shift the mindset or mentality of health and fitness professionals to really help them see how they can play a really important role as, you know, a larger and larger percent of our population is overweight and obese.
Well, and what do you see is at stake from, you know, the possibility that the fitness world doesn't wrap its head around this?
Sure. Well, the unfortunate thing is that two very common coping mechanisms for experiencing weight bias are avoiding activity and binge eating. So the two things that contribute to, you know, overweight and obesity are common coping mechanisms when people feel bad or when they experience being made fun of or stared at or feeling uncomfortable in physical environments. So I think it's a really problematic cycle. And the idea that I think sometimes people feel a little uncomfortable with promoting this notion of size acceptance is that what motivation will people have to change? But the reality is we already have an environment where people are made to feel bad when they're larger, and it does not positively impact health behaviors. It actually has just the opposite effect. So if we really want to help people get healthy, we need to create physical and social environments where people of all shapes and sizes feel comfortable and feel welcome.
What do you see as potential solutions for breaking this cycle, and what role can the fitness industry and maybe go back to your previous work with the physical education world? What role can both of those spheres play in breaking the cycle?
Sure. I think one of the first steps is to raise awareness among health and fitness professionals as well as pre-professionals. And that's one of the things we're looking at is among undergraduate students who are majoring in health-related areas, what are their ideas? What are their perceptions? What are their expectations? Because the reality is most of them will end up working with people who are overweight or obese. And that might be an opportune time to intervene, to raise awareness, and to provide some education so that students have some skills in terms of how to talk to people about weight. There's some interesting research that's come out looking at what kind of terminology individuals prefer their physicians or health professionals to use with them when they're talking about weight so that they don't feel stigmatized or blamed or attacked. So I think that's important. I think there are some specific psychological techniques that can be used. So motivational interviewing is a pretty brief intervention you can do with people to help them kind of identify some motivators and some barriers and really think about how to work through those things. And then I think you can also look at some ways to help health professionals learn to modify activity. So a lot of people that work in the fitness industry maybe have never themselves been overweight or obese, or they don't maybe have very many friends or family who are. So it's hard maybe to understand some of the challenges in a physical activity environment. So if you've ever been to a gym or a rec center, you know that it's not uncommon for treadmills and exercise bikes to be placed very close together. So if you were someone who was larger, it might be hard to navigate that space. Some of the weight equipment, the benches, might be narrow. So again, if you were someone who was larger, it might be, you know, you might be a little uncomfortable or uncertain about using that equipment. So I think there are some things we can do to change the environment, but also to help health and fitness professionals maybe have more skill at modifying activity for larger individuals.
Well, and you raise a really good point, and maybe this, you know, I apologize for the indelicate nature of this question, but I wonder if, as someone who's in the academic setting and sees students going into this field and has colleagues in this field, I mean, you, for example, seem like a fairly fit person. I mean, is there a fear that there are so many people who go into this world already in good shape that they lack the empathy that might be needed to change the dynamic?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, there is some concern that there might be a lack of understanding of what kinds of challenges people face just in their daily lives in addition to trying to be physically active. So prior to coming to Milwaukee, I was at a university in Texas, and we had obesity empathy suits that were like full-body fat suits. So similar to the idea of a pregnancy belly, this was a full-body suit you put on, and it made you look like you gained about 60 pounds, and it weighed between 25 and 30 pounds. So we would have our students wear them over to the rec center on campus to experience not only the physical challenges that they might not have experienced before in terms of navigating the space and carrying the extra weight while trying to do activity, but also to experience some of the social stigma of being looked at or stared at or just kind of feeling uncomfortable. And we generally got pretty interesting feedback from the students because most of them had never been overweight, and so they would comment that it gave them a new appreciation when they would see overweight individuals being active, because they would think back to that experience and remember how challenging it was just to sit in a chair and put their tennis shoes back on, or to get in between to get on the exercise bikes. And one student in particular commented that if she felt that way when she had the suit on all the time, she didn't think she would be physically active. So it did help them, I think, develop a sense of understanding. So I think the more we can do as educators to promote that, both sort of cognitive empathy but also emotional empathy, just trying to put yourself in another person's shoes to think about what they might experience, I think that could be a very good first step to take.
What drives you in this world? Why is this what you've spent years on?
Sure. So originally my focus has been on body image. And I was a figure skater growing up, so personally just experienced a lot of weight-related pressures. You know, the expectation is that figure skaters maintain a very petite, thin figure. So just from some personal experience, I kind of got interested in issues related to body image. And then was lucky enough to work with a colleague who had some interest in weight bias. And I really started thinking about, you know, beyond kind of the sport environment, what kinds of experiences particularly kids might be having who are heavier in physical activity settings. And so that just kind of sparked my interest.
Well, it is a really remarkable work. Christy Greenleaf, thank you so much for sharing it with us.
Thank you so much.
Christy Greenleaf is an assistant professor in the Department of Kinesiology at UW-Milwaukee and a specialist in weight and obesity bias in fitness settings. Milwaukee Brewer Ryan Braun will sit out the rest of the season after admitting involvement with performance-enhancing drugs. We look back at the long, rich, and not all that uplifting tradition of doping in sports when Lake Effect returns on Milwaukee Public Radio.